I'm so pumped to have you on the show, Matthew. Eloweke, right?
Eloweke.
Eloweke. Okay. Yes. Like we said, that's an all pro name right there.
Nigerian okay, so, twist.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So we met, I think, initially on LinkedIn because of Jeff Cobalt. I think he introduced us or something like a few months ago. Is that correct? Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, I do. I do. It was the MSU connection.
Yeah, it was like the, and I think that's one thing people bond over is like the MSU piece or like where you went to school and things like that. How is like, well, hold on. Let me do the introduction. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Not Boring Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Redman, founder of Air5. This is not Suits and Handshakes business. This is not boring business. Let's go. Okay, Matthew, you can unmute your mic.
Oh, yes.
I love it. Okay, so met on LinkedIn, introduction through Michigan State. How do you know Jeff, or do you know Jeff, or like, because like we were talking about your LinkedIn game's on point.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it started on LinkedIn the same way. I can't remember what particular post, but I was just talking about, the simple app that we've created and the fact that, we're around East Lansing, and I think that's what caught his attention. And so he sent out a message and was like, hey, you know, I got somebody that's in L.A. that I think you definitely need to meet and, like, get in contact with. And so that's how he introduced me to you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Dude, that's awesome. Where are you guys in development of the app? Like, I know I see all over the place that you're traveling. And even though, because this is good, because I always think about like success and geography, as in, oh, you've got to be in L.A. or Palo Alto or New York City or wherever. You guys are having really good success, and you're based in the old stomping grounds in East Lansing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So like
still in East Lansing.
Yeah, right. So like, is it just because you guys have a huge presence at Michigan State, or where are you guys going from here?
It's a mixture of a few things. That definitely being one of the leading factors, the fact that, you know, we graduated from Michigan State. We have a bigger presence on campus. This is my first entrepreneurial, like, business, me stepping out, taking a shot in the dark. And so initially it was more of a comfort thing. You know, this is home. We had a network support to fall back on.
Are you from Lansing?
No, I'm from Detroit. So, I mean, the ultimate goal is to take this downtown, like in headquarters.
Have you pitched this to Gilbert?
Been trying to hawk him down. You know how that is. You know how that whole process is. But we're getting closer and closer. We've had people reach out to him on our behalf. So, still in the meeting.
So, like, when people reach out to him for you, nothing has come of that yet?
Not yet.
They're gonna miss the opportunity. Like, I'm telling you, they're gonna kick themselves. I feel something good about you and your company, and we'll get into that in a sec. But like, I remember, obviously, I was from Lansing, then went to Detroit. I didn't really try the entrepreneurial thing, but I tried to get involved there. And like, I didn't feel like there was a big enough ecosystem there at the time, 4 or 5 years ago. And I mean, come on, I'm going to be really honest. I don't think there's a big enough ecosystem there now comparative to like LA, New York, Chicago, Detroit, or sorry, San Francisco.
And oh no, there definitely isn't.
Right. And it's like I said, oh, Dan Gilbert, cause he's the major player in startups. So if you miss on that one guy, it's like, oh man, you know what I mean?
No,
so
I know, like, I know exactly what you mean.
So what do you do in that ecosystem if you miss on that one guy? How do you get over that, right? Like, do you, obviously you keep going, but like, what is the next stage after that in Detroit?
You're asking how do we like navigate?
Yeah, you personally with your company.
Well, I mean, we're not reliant on like one person per se. Like the thing about Detroit, like you said, it's not like the startup ecosystem isn't big, but the thing that baffles me is that it has more than enough resources, you know, in order to make it happen. And so, I mean, I've known that from the beginning once we started it. And so that's why you see us everywhere. I mean, we network ourselves as much as possible. You know, you got people like Dan Gilbert, other people in the city like Steven Strom. He's like a business mogul. He's been helping us really since the beginning. Even like out in Silicon Valley, we've been able to build up a network of people, including like Brett Koff from Remind. He's got a big ed tech startup. Even like Ken Michaels, the CEO over at McMillan. So, I mean, you know, we're not necessarily reliant on one person, but we understand that like what we have is we have some heat, like far beyond just like the technology aspect of it. We have something that can bring about real change. And so, I mean, and knowing that, we know that, you know, we're not relying on one person. If one person misses it, then, you know, they missed it.
Absolutely. How did you guys start making connections in Silicon Valley?
Man, so see, that's crazy too. LinkedIn, the power of LinkedIn and like social media.
Yeah, I want to go into this because you, I want to say on the record, you have been one of my biggest visuals, I think, on LinkedIn, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to stay in contact, and part of the reason why I reached out, because I reached out to you on LinkedIn as well. I was like, hey dude, you got to come on the podcast.
Oh yeah,
you know, like that. So tell me about your LinkedIn game, because your LinkedIn game is strong, and tell me about how you started making inroads to Silicon Valley.
Oh yeah, so LinkedIn was something that I was creative advertising major at Michigan State, and so LinkedIn was something that I was introduced to in one of my classes. And so when it came, you know, time to enter in a startup and like business, like we were just talking about, you know, the entrepreneurial culture isn't very big in the Midwest, like in this state specifically. And so I knew LinkedIn was like the resource where all of the business talks and dealings happen on. And so I made myself familiar with it early on. And as far as like getting out to Silicon Valley, our first in was with the program GSV Labs, their Pioneer Accelerator Google Launchpad program. And okay. Really what happened with that, I went onto their website and went to their about page, saw who their CEO was, and he had an open LinkedIn page. And so, I mean, I sent them about 6 messages before he finally responded. But you know, it was
nice.
Yeah.
So you're persistent.
Oh, definitely. Especially when there's opportunity on the table. It's like, I know people are busy. People probably get 1,000 messages a day. And so the one thing that people don't often do is follow up. And so I make sure that that's something that I do. And I mean, it's worked out. It's worked out time after time. And so
how do you get, like, if they don't write back to you, because like I've been through this and I've been doing it for years to where I know it's what works, man. I know if you reach out to someone, and this is from like the practical advice point of view of the podcast, which is if you reach out, dude, follow up is key. And one, I think a lot of people feel like they're harassing someone when they email them a week later or 2 weeks later or a month later, and then they do it again and again and again. But it's like, dude, people wear me the fuck down. Do you know what I mean? Like, so like when they email me twice in like 2 weeks and I go, oh my God, I wish this guy would go away. I'm almost going to mark him in spam. And then someone writes me again, that the same person writes me again, like 2 weeks later. And then I just go, I'm going to respond back. You know what I mean? Right. Even if it's, thanks, you're the best, I love the hustle, man. No thanks, though. But, like, I'm going to write back, and I think there's something valuable in that. And it works for you, right?
It's worked 100% of the time for me. Like, I'll go out of – and it really started with my parents. Like, I had those type of parents where, you know, if I have a birthday party, everybody that comes to it, I have to send out cards to them saying thank you for coming. Yeah. Same thing with my grad party. I have to send out cards like thank you for coming. So, I mean, for something like this with business and I'm trying to get somebody to buy into my vision, it's like I send up 50 messages if I have to. I don't want you to miss out on this opportunity.
Right. I like how you say that. I don't want you to miss out on it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it comes with that kind of confidence. You know what I mean? Like, that's a winning mentality. So, like, how do you keep that winning mentality when dude, shit hits the fan every day, right? Like, we all go through the time where it's like, nothing went right, and I want to give up by, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I just go, I'm calling this a day. You know what I mean? Like, I pack up my shit, I go home, and it's like, I take a fucking nap. You know what I mean? And then I wake up and I start working again because I'm like kind of rejuvenated.
Yep.
Right. Like, I don't know, maybe naps is some success tool, but like, what, how do you stay motivated? Like within yourself?
So I mean, for me, I'm a little different. So like when I think of when my entrepreneurial journey, like if anything taught me that problems are relative, you know, like everybody has problems. Everybody has things that they go through. But, I mean, the hardships that we go through in business, they've been, you know, they've been hard. We've had some trying times, but when I look back over my life and, like, everything else I've been through, it's, like, just for me to be able, you know, just for me to be in this position to have this problem, you know, what am I really upset about? It's not going to kill me. It's not going to break me. The app is not going to stop progressing. We just need to sit down and figure it out. So, I mean, I don't know. I just had that mindset about things. Like, I've been through enough in life where this doesn't feel like I'm happy for these problems that I have now, you know?
these are good problems to have.
Yeah, no, definitely. like we're talking about starting an app, you know, starting a piece of technology that can change the world, that will change the way that society runs and moves down the line. It's like, I'm excited for me to be at the forefront of it, so.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me this. I saw absolutely. So tell me this. I saw on LinkedIn that you said something about you knew that this could be like the social media platform of colleges, or like you're one day you're going to be as big as Facebook.
Bigger. But that's me being modest, because they did lay the foundation. You know, they laid the foundation for us to be bigger than them. Like, honestly.
Got you. So, okay, I like that. I like that perspective. Now, tell me this. That's a big check to write. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, think about this. The effort it takes to put that in, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have what it takes? What is like a litmus test that you've gone through? Give me a time where like, hey, I've gone through this struggle and I know I can build this.
Are we talking like life or technology?
I'm talking anything. I want you to prove to me in the next minute or so, like, what do you have, like, that says you are able to make this as big as Facebook?
So, I mean, I've been through a lot in life. You know, I've had points in life where I didn't have a place to stay and I was hungry. You know, I came into college with dreams of playing football. You know, I would never tell anybody that. My only goal was to go to the league, but I mean, everybody has that thought in their head. And so when it came, you know, the time in my life where football was like essentially taken away from me, you know, I was left with a big gray spot in my life. And, you know, school wasn't my strong suit. And it's not necessarily because it was hard. It's just, I wasn't interested in it. And so, I mean, the way that the vision was like placed in me, the way that things kind of like took off the way that they did, and we were able to go through beta testing and get into an accelerator program out in Silicon Valley, which is the mecca of technology. It's like the way that and I'm from Detroit, Michigan, where technology isn't something that's talked about. Getting to Silicon Valley is something that's really unheard of, but we've been able to navigate time after time, even in the hardships that have come up along the way. You know, progress has never stopped for us at one point. And we've never been dormant. And so just in me knowing that, I understand that this thing that we're working on with Simple is a whole lot bigger than me, because I couldn't have done this by myself. It's a whole lot bigger than anybody else on our team, because this is something that we didn't grow up around. Like, there's definitely, I mean, this is God's work. This is God's engineering. So it's not even up to me. It's just what is this is what's going to happen, you know?
Absolutely. It's divine. You are on a divine path. You feel
100%.
Dude, I absolutely agree with that. Like, whatever you believe in, and that's very inspirational, because it's like, whatever you believe in, like the universe, the you're meant to do something, God, whatever religion you practice, whatever it is, mm-hmm. I really believe that we're all here for some reason.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, we are meant to do something. And I've been given sign after sign after sign when I've almost gave up, right? Like, we're talking tears as I back into my parking spot. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I do not have the strength to go forward. I need spiritual strength. Right? Mm-hmm. Like universal strength. I need a universal favor here. I need to cash in my chips, you know?
Honestly.
Like, we all have that kind of moment. Like the one, well, I'll say this. The ones that have succeeded have had those moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones that have given up have kind of had the beginning of that moment and never followed through and just ended up crying and giving up and working for an insurance company.
Those are my exact thoughts. Like I talk to my co-founder, like our team all the time about it. Just the way I view things, it's like for people to be born, like there are so many babies that aren't born. And so for us to be on the earth already and to be going through year after year, you know, we're here for a reason. There's a reason that everybody on the earth is born. You know, we're all here to be great.
Absolutely.
It's just some people don't tap into it. You know, like you said, the first little opportunity that comes up, you know, they get big eyed and it's enough for them. But you know, I'm there. I don't know what enough for me is, you know.
That's a good one. Like I wrote a piece for Entrepreneur Magazine last year and it was, I feel like my opportunity could be at door 1001 and I knock on door after door after door. I knock on 1,000 doors and mm-hmm. I give up. That's like my perpetual fear.
Yes.
You know, it's like that I think I'll do this until I die. I don't care how poor I have to become or what I lose. Mm-hmm. I'll lose it all to get exactly what I want. I'm willing to kill myself for it. You know what I mean?
I'm right there with you.
This is all I have. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, and there's other people, you know, it's other people that look to you and are relying on you to get this off the ground. Like, you know, it's a whole lot bigger than you, a whole lot bigger than me.
Yeah, you know? Man. That's so true. Like, I saw you again on LinkedIn. Your LinkedIn game, bro. Like, I saw you teaching some kids at Michigan State, like the peaks and valleys of entrepreneurship. Like,
it's part of that beautiful.
Yeah, it's part of that give back, right? Like, it they look to you, like as a leader or someone who has done it, right? Like, mm-hmm. what kind of response? You feel that responsibility?
Yes, 100%. Because it's not. I mean, there aren't people. This is like it's kind of frustrating to me because we have all of these resources right here in the city. We have billionaire people in the city, but we're building up sports arenas. We're building up all this other stuff when Detroit public schools are terrible. They're among the worst in the nation. You know, we got school buildings that are falling down. We got kids in elementary schools with no pencils, notebooks, books to read out of. Teachers are getting moved around. I was just talking to a teacher who's a part of Detroit Public Schools who's been moved around 8 times in the last 2 years.
Man.
So it's like, yeah, it's like, I do feel like I have an obligation to speak up because, I mean, everything that's going on with Simple, we're using these resources to go to these urban areas and, like, reach out to these kids and show them, like, a completely different perspective of what they're seeing right now, you know? That's
Absolutely.
The only way to bring about change.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and I agree. So, like, I believe you get started small, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. one big thing. No one builds a billion-dollar company overnight, right?
That's
Before it becomes a billion-dollar company, it needs to be a $1 million company. And mm-hmm. before you get to a $1 million company, it needs to be a $1,000 company, right? So, like, what is the practical – what's a good practical, simple piece – of advice that you can give that someone can get started on today?
So if someone's looking to, you know, to start a business or build off of an idea of theirs, the most important, like literally the most important thing that I can say is to make sure that you have your mind right. You know, people enter into entrepreneurship with expectations based off of, you know, where they see other people and other people's startups. But, you know, they often overlook the fact that their struggle that is going to happen, like in the entrepreneurial journey, that is a fact. There's going to be roadblock after roadblock. And just like how we were talking 5 minutes ago, the ones that are successful are the ones that figured out how to navigate through those roadblocks and not take the easy way out of giving up. And so, you know, when you, if you do decide to start a business, if you take that in mind, that roadblocks are going to come up, and that, you know, the more that you get, the more confident you should be, because you're obviously doing something right if you're figuring them out.
Yeah.
You know, if you have that mindset, then 100% in my opinion, you'll be successful. Because, I mean, I've seen it time after time.
Yeah, because it is like, and some people tell me this. Why do you come across like as, I mean, that's a little negative, Jeremy. And I go, no, this is me being completely positive, but realistic, right? Like, it's pragmatic positivity. You know, like, it is me who goes to you, listen, you're going to come into a bunch of challenges. And they go, dude, why are you dragging me down? Why are you? And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, go, you talk.
Who, me? Hello?
Yeah, you there? Yeah, go. There. Did you want to say something?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Yeah, go.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. So, go like, ahead.
Okay. So, like, these people that go, dude, you're dragging me down. This is negative energy. And I say, well, they go, well, why do you talk like this? Right? Like, why? And I go, I think if people, like, the failure rate in startups is 90% or greater, right? Like, so many people give up. I think if people go into entrepreneurship with a more realistic job preview of what it entails, they will come out, that success rate will be 39%, 59%, right? You're still going to get people that fail. But giving them and saying, hey, you've got to take these challenges head on. And you've always, always remember that you're going, this is never be as easy as you think it will be, ever. You know what I mean? Like, you've got this great product and it, like, people are just going to download it and find it. You know what I mean? Like, that is so, that is outside of 2004 Facebook. Like, that, dude, Twitter, I remember, have you read the book Hatching Twitter?
No, but I know their early on story, though.
Yeah, like, they struggled for a while, like, to get users. They were, like, hovering around just a few hundred users or gaining a few hundred users here and there, right? Same thing with Snapchat. Snapchat was down, was getting, for the first couple months or few months or, like, for the first long time after they launched it, it was, like, they only got, like, 100 new users a week until they got written up in, like, Cosmopolitan magazine or something.
The, you know what I mean?
They even same changed with Instagram. The name. Oh, really? I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, no. Instagram, they were kind of the same. They had about 80. Kevin's sister only had about 80 to 100 users for the longest, and they were all family and friends until like, had to completely pivot and turn what we know Instagram as now. That's not what it was originally. You know, it was just like a check-in app.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. So has I like that. I like that transition. So, like, now talking about pivots, has Simple, will give us a little brief synopsis of what Simple is, and then tell me, has Simple gone through any pivots or transitions to this point?
So Simple is the first social learning platform. We're gearing it towards college students, and our goal is to focus in on the busy students, you know, that have jobs, student athletes, you know, they're involved on campus. You know, that find difficulty in balancing work and school, being able to get their homework done and whatnot. And so what the platform does is provide students with a news feed that highlights upcoming homework, exams in their classes for the week. They're also provided with a list of classmates for each of the courses they're enrolled in. And our main feature is the users are provided with a map of their campus that highlights active study groups and which of their classmates are studying in real time. And so, I mean, what we have now is a platform that doesn't force students to, you know, log in to their school's website and go through 20 clicks on D2L or Canvas or whatever they use to figure out what's due for the day. And, you know, their best option now isn't emailing the professor when they need help outside of the classroom and then, you know, waiting for a response. They now have an app where they can, you know, they now have a platform where they can pull out their phone, see exactly what's coming up in their classes with one click. They can see who their classmates are and shoot them a message with one click. Really just making the study process a whole lot smoother and easier to free up time.
I mean, that does sound like something that I would use, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what if I was, if and when I was in college, how do you guys go beyond the college market? Is this something you could use in high school too, or is it just more for like college closed campuses?
So we've been approached by people in the K-12 sector, people in the medical field, even like enterprise companies. Like we had early on talks with Time Warner Cable, like on Time Warner Cable, huge company.
Yeah.
Just for like our scheduling aspect of the platform, because, you know, they have 1,000+ employees. And so, I mean, we definitely have plans of scaling beyond the college market. It's just, you know, this is the foundation for the business.
Okay. Now tell me this. I normally listen to something like that. If Time Warner Cable comes to me and says, I want to use this for the scheduling aspect, my next question is, how much are you going to pay for it? Right? And yeah. Then if it's large enough, I start going, maybe we spin off a little bit of this scheduling piece. We dedicate a little time to it and see what they think. Right? Like, how did those conversations go? Why did it not go that way?
So, looking back on it, I could say it was probably for a couple of reasons. Number one, it was really, really like early on. And so I didn't even know how to necessarily conduct myself in those kind of meetings. You know, that was like big for me. And then also like with that in mind, it just wasn't the proper timing, I guess, because if it was, it would have worked out.
Dude, I'm telling you, I go into a meet, I'm getting myself in this mindset. I'm getting fucking pumped up, and like we're studying. This is a studying app, period. Time fucking Warner comes into my office and goes, we want to use it for this. I'm telling you right now, Jeremy Redmond goes, this is exactly what we do. We do scheduling. You know what I mean? Like, and I go, you pay us $120,000 for that and we're good. You know what I mean? Like, we've got all this track. We're going all in. If Time Warner wants this, Universal wants this. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm thinking, we just have this little side piece. I mean, I don't know how much, but I just always think, if someone asks me what my company does, I say, whatever you're going to pay me to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Take everyone's money.
Hey, if you play your cards right, though, you get a bigger pot down the line. You know?
That could be true. Yeah. You know? But I am like a – dude, I'm a hooker for business. You know what I mean? Like, I will prostitute the shit out of myself just for the success of my company. You know what I mean? Like, anything I've got to do, I will make sure it – like, I don't know. So if someone comes writing checks, that's when I'm like, I'll do fine. You know what I mean? Like, I'll do it. Like, have you ever operated in that mindset? Or are you not there yet? Or
nah, I'm not. I'm very analytical. So I take my time and I like to observe things. In my past, like experiences, just in business, but like jumping on top of things. I make rash decisions that don't always work out in the end. And so, you know, especially with something like this, I know how these business meetings go and I know how some people's mindsets are. And so, you know, I take everything into consideration and take my time before making a decision.
Absolutely. Okay, I do love that.
It's the best
way to
go,
really. Yeah, it really is. Like sometimes I just think, oh, I fucked up. Like 20 times because I've operated the way that I just told you I operated, right? Like, and sometimes I think like, okay, I've also won thousands and thousands of dollars of business because of that way I've operated.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know. And I want to kind of end on this piece, which is, I think like entrepreneurship, you weren't always an entrepreneur, or maybe you acted entrepreneurial, but you didn't have your company. Mm-hmm. And you said when you lost football, that sucked bigger than anything in your life kind of up to that point. You felt empty and you kind of filled it with entrepreneurship. So I can only imagine how simple feels to you right now. Like it's your fucking baby. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like you will never see this die. Like, how does that feel? All that stuff being wrapped up into that one precious objective that's like kind of filling the filling the void. I love that. Like what you said, you know what I mean? Like expand on that a little bit. How does that feel? And like, where do you go from here?
It feels amazing. Like it almost feels better than how I was feeling in playing football and like being on this big stage. Like just knowing that I'm doing something that not many people, not anybody really expected me to do and like be able to do. Even like taking it beyond myself, being a black person in technology is something that, I mean, it's hard, especially at this level, trying to build something from the ground up. It's hard. And so to be able to get the kind of recognition that we've gotten up to this point, to be able to go to some of the conferences that we've had, be able to sit in some of the meetings and these experiences, you know, I have no complaints.
Absolutely.
I mean, deal with stuff every day, but like I was saying earlier, problems at this point to me feel relative. Like nothing is going to break me at this point. So I'm happy.
I love that. Okay, perfect. So where can everyone find you on social media, LinkedIn? I want everyone to check out your LinkedIn game.
Oh yes, so, like, yes. So LinkedIn.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
My LinkedIn name is Matthew Eloweke. That's two T's. And then my last name is Eloweke. And you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. My handles are CEO_elevators. That's ELEVATORS on both of those.
Perfect. Dude, thank you so much for coming on, Matthew. You're the greatest, man. Go green.
Hey, thank you for having me. Go white.